Welcome to the Thrive Vineyard Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Molly Kiefer. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit thrivevineyard.com.
Well, we have been in a series called Mediterranean Messages this summer. We have set sail with Paul as he has gone out from one missionary journey to another, and we started in Thessalonica, and then we stopped in Ephesus, and today we are joining Paul on his first missionary journey to Galatia. And I have a little map here. This missionary journey started and ended in Jerusalem, and Paul sailed to Cyprus, which is the island right there in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, up to Galatia, which is now southern Turkey, landed in the southern part there, traveled inland up to Antioch. You just have to imagine with me. Up to Antioch. Did a bunch of work in Antioch, then traveled back south, where he planted some church in southern Galatia, back to Jerusalem, where he ended that missionary journey. So why do we need to take Galatia as a stop? And why do you need to go read the pages of Galatians this week? Flip your own pages of your own Bible. Well, if you have ever struggled with the fear that your good enough isn't enough for God, well, your never enough drive is going to be quieted this week in these pages of Galatians. If you wonder what makes Christianity different than any other religion in the world, Paul's going to answer that question in this book this week. If you maybe struggle with guilt over something in your past and you have teetered on maybe some freedom, and then you feel like, oh no, I'm back at this again. If you're feeling a little bit stuck in that thinking, the chains will come off this week as you catch the words that Paul speaks about freedom in Galatians. Maybe you feel like you wonder sometimes if your obedience is coming from a pure heart. Am I doing things just to get God to do something for me? Ultimately, is it selfish? Well, again, that will all come out in the wash this week if you read this book of Galatians. Paul issues a very powerful statement on equality and unity in this book. Hungry, you need a snack? Well, you're going to find the fruit of the Spirit, what it's like to live with the Holy Spirit in you this week in Galatians. And lastly, Paul just gives some fatherly advice on how to live in relationships, how to live a good life in relationships with each other. But this is a really unique letter because Paul comes in hot within the first few verses of Galatians. Now, we've been studying his books, and some of you are familiar with his letters, and a lot of them open with this gentle opening, a greeting. And then we hear a prayer, and he talks about how much he loves them and how he's for them and how much he misses them and he wishes he could be there with them, right? It's this real gentle start. Well, this one, right from the get-go, we find that Paul, we hear his frustration and his outright anger with the church in Galatia. And I just wonder if you have ever done this, where you have sent off a text in angry mode. There's no time to think. It's just that you hit that smoking nostril emoji. That's my favorite. It says it all, right? There is smoke coming out of this nose right now. So I am usually the first one down to my kitchen in the morning. But I go up pretty early. And when I go up to bed, usually the kitchen's looking pretty good, just the way I like it. Well, I come down in the morning and I usually discover that someone has been air frying. And that would be fine. But what they do, I don't know who. No one owns up to this, but so often I come down and in the air fryer, which is sitting on the counter, are bits of chicken nuggets and fries. And not just that, there's grease droplets in there. And this is one of my pet peeves, because do you know what happens to grease after it sits for a while and then is reused without cleaning? It turns into this sticky, tacky compound that does not budge. No matter if your scrub daddy is on that day or not, it doesn't budge, right? And so I will instantly send off that text, no good morning, no how are we feeling today, just who left the air fryer a mess again, lots of caps, right? Well, we do that because they're family, and we can vent, and we don't have to say good morning. Well, Paul did it because there was so much at stake right here in this moment with this young church. Here's the background. the Galatians, they started out this new life in Jesus according to the gospel message that Paul brought them. They heard him preach, and they believed the message that Jesus came to rescue them from their sin, gave them a whole new life, and that they would have this new life, this right standing with God by faith in Christ alone, through grace alone. And they heard his message freely given, the salvation because of the death of Jesus on the cross. They heard it, they believed him, and they're starting out that way. And then Paul leaves, and in comes these Jewish Christians. And they come in, and they tell the Galatians, they say, that guy Paul, he was only giving you half the message. He only gave you half of the story, half of the gospel, because you can't just rely on faith in Jesus. That's not enough. In order to become a member of God's family, you actually have to become Jewish, and you need to follow Jewish ways. You have to be circumcised. You have to follow the Sabbath, observe the Sabbath, follow the kosher food laws. Like, if you really want to be all the way in God's family, you have to do these other things. And these opponents, Paul called them opponents in every single chapter of this book. He called them opponents because they were opposing him, they were maligning him, and they were saying, no, that was just half the story. Paul gave you half the story. And this is what he says in Galatians 1:6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. He finds out these believers are pulled off track. He says, you're deserting. This is a really strong word. You were deserting so quickly this life that you were headed into, that it began with Jesus, this gospel that I gave you, and you're now following this other message, and it was an and gospel. Jesus and laws. Jesus and circumcision, Jesus and earning your place before God and keeping your place. And Paul is furious and heartbroken at this news. And so this is why we have this book, because if they continue down this line, they will end up believing no gospel at all. You can't have what Jesus won for you on the cross and your own effort at the same time. And so he writes this letter in response. Now, here I think is the main message, Paul's main message to them. And we're going to find it in Galatians 3:3. And this is what he says. After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Sometimes I like to read alongside the Message version, because Eugene Peterson puts a lot of detail, a lot more, expands kind of the scripture. And this is what Eugene Peterson writes in the Message, the same scripture. How did your new life begin? Was it by working your heads off to please God? Or was it by responding to God's message to you? Are you going to continue this craziness? For only crazy people would think they could complete by their own efforts what was begun by God. If you weren't smart enough or strong enough to begin it, how do you suppose you could perfect it? Isn't that good? His main message is we can't help ourselves. We can't help ourselves. We can't earn our way. We bring nothing to God. He supplies it all. It's all grace. And he says, listen, it isn't your religious actions. It's not your good intentions. It's not your promises that tomorrow will be different. It's not your efforts, not your self-discipline that got you right with God or will continue getting you the life that he has paid for. You can't continue on it either. And this is such an important message for us, because this is so hard for us to get, you guys. We can't help but think that our self-effort, our self-help will produce the results that we want with God. We can't help ourselves, because in every other area of life, hard work produces results, right? You want a strong, fit, healthy body? Well, you work hard at the gym, right? You work hard at getting your protein. You know this, right? Like, we get the TikToks and the emails and the guru who's always promoting the next thing, right? Right now, where it happened, cottage cheese is having its moment, right? Like, we must put it in everything. It's your pancakes, it's your wrap for your sandwich and your dessert. Is there anything that cottage cheese can't do today? Like, let me know. I have not figured that out, right? You want good grades? Well, you stop playing Mario and you study. You want financial freedom? You get the second job, right? You learn productivity hacks so you can multitask. You hustle. This is what we do, right? And we do it with our inner stuff, our inner life too, our personal stuff. A lot of times we just think there's got to be an answer. Self-help, our world loves self-help today. Self-help is doing great things for a lot of people in some ways, right? So self-help, we want to help along the process. So we take this learned behavior response cycle. We take it that from what we get from other areas, and we take it right into our relationship with God, our spiritual life, don't we? But hard work will not set us free from the prison of sin. It will not. Hard work will not overcome the accusation of the enemy. Hard work, self-help, it won't change our heart. And that's at the very, very core of the issue. It won't change us from being proud, self-centered slaves. It will not transform our hearts into the identity that God has spoken over us. It won't earn us the approval, that place of belonging, that in our innermost place, the thing that we want more than anything in this world, that longing, that belonging to Him, that knowing that we are the beloved. It won't bring the security of being His very own sons and daughters. Hard work will not do it. It won't set us free to adore God. It won't bring us into true joy, real joy that we were designed to live in. So if hard work won't produce the results we want, that it won't get us right with God, and it will not keep us right with God, how do we ultimately get free from the condemnation and the struggle with our own drives and our own selfish ways? How do we get free? Well, this is what Paul wrote in Galatians 2, 19 and 20. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Man, this is the golden nugget in this book. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In this body, I live by faith in the Son of God. And as I was just meditating on this scripture this week, and I was just thinking about this life that I live, I no longer live, but this life that I live, I felt that I had this moment with the Holy Spirit where he asked me a question. And many of you know that I've been struggling with some health issues over the past 2.5 months. And I found that early on, after the first like 2 weeks or so, I started saying this phrase. And I started saying it mostly to Kevin, but it was definitely on repeat. It was like this mantra where I kept saying, I just want my life back. I just want my life back. Like over and over and over again, like, I just want my life back. And as I was thinking about this scripture, I no longer live in this life that I live in Jesus, I felt like the Holy Spirit asked me, Molly, did your life go away with the sickness? Did your life go away? And then he asked, well, which life? Are you saying you want your life back? Which life? He said, do you want the life back, the life where you did all the activities that you wanted to do? That life, the life where you had energy to push yourself and get more done and do more work and sneak more in, the life that was busy and found satisfaction in busyness, the life that put value on busyness and getting things done, that life that felt important, or maybe it was the life that was just more fun and more connected to people, or the life that could tackle house projects and play pickleball, the life that didn't have to make time for rest or didn't have to say no. That's the life you want back, or the life where Jesus lives in me. The life that Paul is writing about right here. The life where Jesus is fully present and it's based on His promises. The life that is secure in His strength and faithfulness towards me. The life that is in His love and is 100% unfailing, without needs, and overwhelmingly peaceful. The life of Jesus in me because He gave Himself up for me. So the life then that finds value, that is ascribed value because of the price that was paid for it. And it was paid, the price that was paid was the highest price. That life, the life of Jesus that doesn't worry itself with the petty things of this world that are passing away. Because here's what I came to find out. The only life that can be disturbed or disappointed or discouraged in this age is a life where I do all the things I want to do. That's the only life that's at any risk, right? Because the life where Jesus lives in me, that life is untouchable. The life where Jesus lives in me, that life is unshakable, isn't it? It is. Then when I understand the true life, the one that Paul wrote about here, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Jesus lives in me. Well, then circumstances and seasons and disappointments of this life, they don't hold me captive any longer. And that's true freedom. That's living free. All the pressure comes off myself to get myself out of a hard situation. All the pressure comes off to make things, to make a good life for myself. All the pressure comes off because the life that Jesus lives in me, you guys, that is a good life, period. Like, that's a good life with a capital G, right? Like, it knows of his goodness and it tells of his goodness, and it is a truly free life. No fear of what tomorrow may bring, no fear of failure, no fear of people's opinions, or no fear of financial ruin or loneliness or rejection, because he becomes the center of my life. That life, that life. And that's the life that God designed for us. And I think this is helpful. If we think about this, have you ever gone to a movie and you started watching something and you're like, this is something other than what I expected, right? Like, usually based on the preview, and this is, again, a pet peeve, when the movie shows all the funny moments in the preview, right? Like, all six of the funny things are in the preview, and you think, going, this is going to be 2 hours of comedy, and it's like an hour and 56 minutes of drama and 4 minutes of comedy, and you already saw them all, right, on the screen before. Well, here's the deal. This life in Jesus, it's like we've gone to the movie theater and we are watching a different life than the one that we thought we were going to watch. So before we were a follower of Jesus, the movie that you were watching was a movie where you are the star. You are the main thing in this movie. You are the reason for this movie. And the movie is all about your dreams and your relationships and your hopes and your great ideas. This is what the movie is about. You are the writer of the script. You are the director of the scene and of the whole thing, and you fill the screen. It's you. It's you every moment. And the content is based on your thoughts and your ideas and your opinions and your agendas and your hopes and your drives, right? You're the star. And then once you become a Christian, you realize, oh, I'm just a supporting character. And Jesus is the star of this movie. He is the one. He is the main character. And what he has done and what he is doing is the point of the whole thing, right? He is the writer of the script. He is the director. And every scene is about how he is directing and what he is doing and how he sees things going. And the focus of the attention is not on you. It's not on me any longer. The focus is on the star. The central character is Jesus, right? He is the star, and the main point is his faithfulness, and the main point is his power, and his obedience, and his grace, and his work, and his plans, and his spirit that is always moving. That's the main point. So has Jesus moved to the center of the stage in your life? Maybe if you're a parent, ask yourself, who is the star of my kids' lives? Who is it? Who carries the weight of their future? Who directs this episode and the whole season and the next season that's to come? Who is directing? Who's writing the script? Maybe if you're married, who is holding the primary responsibility of holding your marriage together, of its success? Who is the one who carries the weight of the change that maybe needs to happen in your heart or their heart or the ways of the habits of it? Who is in charge? Who carries the weight of your future, your financial well-being, your health, your problems at work? I just want to ask, who is at the center of the stage right now? And I wonder if the reason that we are so anxious as a people and find such escape in things and so tired is because we are still center stage. We are still the primary actor in so many ways. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So how do we move Jesus to the center? Well, Paul says this in that scripture. He says, by faith. By faith. And I know, we want, like, that's just so, like, you know, like, it's like a cloud in the sky. How do you pin that down, you know? How do we get this a little more concrete? Well, let's look again at Galatians 3, and this is in the Message. This might be helpful. This is what Eugene Peterson writes. Answer this question. Does the God who lavishly provides you with his own presence, his Holy Spirit, working things in your lives that you could never do for yourselves, does he do these things because of your strenuous moral striving or because you trust him to do them in you? I gotta read that again. Does the God who lavishly provides you with his own presence, his Holy Spirit, working things in your lives you could never do for yourselves, does he do these things because of your strenuous moral striving or because you trust him to do them in you? Don't these things happen among you just as they happened with Abraham? He believed God. And that act of belief was turned into a life that was right with God. That's so, so good. So in faith, I trust God to work things in my life that I could never do for myself. That's what he's saying. This is what faith is. Faith is trusting that God would do those things that I can't do for myself. Tim Keller says this gift of his life, it's not achieved, it's received. It's not achieved, it's received. And this is, we're not good receivers. We work really hard at achieving, right? But we're not good receivers. But this is it, by faith. I trust his Spirit to do things in my life that I could not do for myself. I step out of this lead role in my life by faith, trusting that he will provide the power that is needed for the obedience. I step out of the lead role and I step back and I trust God to provide the understanding for the relationship hiccups. I step back out of the lead role and I trust God will provide the wisdom of how to navigate issues at work, how to navigate the unknowns that are ahead. I step out and I trust God to provide the grace and the approval and the love that will overcome the negative self-talk. Step out of that lead role, and I trust God to provide the strength to overcome the habits that are not okay with me, that aren't working in my life, right? And so my challenge for you today is a mindset shift. It's just this, mindset shift. And it's to this, the life I live by faith, receiving, not achieving, trusting God to work things I could never do for myself. Okay? Receiving, not achieving, trusting God to do things I could never do for myself. So let me just ask you, where are you maybe reluctant today to make Jesus the center, the star of the show? And for most of us, we've given him that place in our lives. And so there's maybe just certain areas, certain issues, certain scenes of our life where we haven't said, I'm going to step back, I'm the supporting character, and you are the star of the show. Are there certain places where it's just you're having a hard time stepping back off the center of that stage? Maybe there's a part of your life that just feels challenging right now. It feels challenging and you want to control the outcome and you're working really hard to figure it out and to get it to work the way you think it should work. We're just going to pray in a minute and I'm just going to ask if you can just relinquish the control of that, the outcome of that. If you can just step back and just, again, just invite Jesus back in, saying, you move to the center here. You carry the weight of this. This is on you to take care of and to figure out. And I'm going to just trust you to work things that I could never work for myself by faith. That's the life I live now, by faith, right? And then my second question is, we're going to pray over that, but my second question is, if you're finding yourself wishing, like me, for an old life back, maybe it's just part of your life, where you just were like, if I could just have it like it was back then, before the loss, before you had so much responsibility. Maybe you're longing for that time when you had more free time, when you had more money, before the accident, when you didn't have the burden, when I was just younger, whatever it may be. If you feel like there's just a part of your life where you just keep longing for something back in your past, I would just ask you to shift the narrative in that place. To shift the narrative like I had to do. My real life is found in Jesus, and it is never in question. It is never in question. I want us to pick up these words of Paul, and I want them to make them our own. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. You guys, this will be the best story you will ever tell. It will. That Jesus lives in me. That is the story that we want told about us. That is going to be our greatest legacy right here. This is it. We're zoomed in on the bullseye today. This is the story that can be told in any season. Guys, it can. It can be told in any circumstance, in any season. This is the story that has the best ending. Jesus lives in me. Jesus lives in me. This is the story the world needs to see and the world needs to hear. I no longer live, but Jesus lives in me.